Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Thank you, Doma T. 1 hour from now, the Mincing Rascals podcast broadcast. Speaking of roads, the gang talks about the changing of I-57 to the Barack Obama Presidential Expressway, and they talk about patriotism and how many Americans, and many, many do, still feel extremely proud to be an American. We'll talk about that 1 hour from now. Our Brian Altimer, you just mentioned this a moment ago, he works with Ro Khan in the afternoons, and Anna DeVlantis and that gang here on WGN Radio. Is where exactly are you right now, Brian?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me. Right now, I'm on the corner of 79th and State. There's a big vacant lot where everybody's gathered to prep the march because they're getting ready to take off in about 2 minutes here. When I first got here, it was a couple of hundred. Now it looks like it'd be well over 1,000 because the lot is overflowed. There's a gas station that's across the street from the lot. Right now, that lot is full, and even on the red line, it's totally congested right now. And the crowd is amazing right now. Congressman Danny Davis, I walked past him in the lot. Jesse Jackson Sr. Walked past, and community activist Andrew Holmes is in the area somewhere. But the crowd is way bigger than I expected. I expected a couple of hundred, but there's well over 1,000 out here right now.
Yeah. So obviously there's some sort of rally going on right now. We hear somebody speaking to the crowd and them chanting back. Who's on the stage right now?
There's no stage, but that was Father Flager. He was leading a prayer before we actually march off. Right now, I believe Jesse Jackson Sr. is talking right now. But he's talking to the media.
I see. Of course he is. Brian, so what are you able to eyeball the Dan Ryan right now? Because the governor's office issued a statement saying that they are going to, that they negotiated a shared use of the northbound Dan Ryan this morning. So the protesters will be able to march up the Ryan, but cars will also be able to go up the Ryan. What are you seeing right now?
From what I've seen, they blocked off the Dan Ryan from 95th Street northbound, and they had IDOT workers blocking at least two of the lanes, two of the far right lane for people to march, and then the other cars would be able to pass by in the left lane. That's what I was able to see. But the last statement that was released from Father Flager, he released a statement saying that there was no agreement reached of that sort and that they want to use the actual whole Dan Ryan Expressway. So it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out once the march is underway, because right now the state's plan is to let the marchers use those far right lanes to actually peacefully march.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that'll be very interesting. Well, it's 10:11 now. The march is supposed to start at 10, so I presume in a matter of minutes you all are going to walk down that ramp and onto the highway, right?
Correct.
Hey, right. Hey, Brian, it's Doma T in the newsroom. Quick question. What is the police presence like? I know you talked about IDOT workers along the side of the expressway as well, but what is the vibe you're getting from the police presence, both state police and Chicago police?
Honestly, the Chicago police has been great with directing the traffic that really has nothing to do with the march, directing traffic away from it so they won't get caught up in, you know, a traffic jam. But no matter what, if you're on the south side and you're trying to go northbound, you're going to get caught in this traffic. It's just amazing how all these streets are blocked off. And as we speak right now, the march is underway. I'm actually towards the front of the line, and I'm walking away. But, yeah, the Chicago police, they've been amazing controlling all this.
But they're not arresting people. They're not trying to inhibit the crowd, right?
No. What they're trying to do is just make sure that everything is in order and that no one is ran over or, you know, they're trying to keep everything together and peaceful. And now, at this point, it seems like it's happening.
Yeah, right. Well, Brian, stay on the line with us here now. Brian Altimer's on the line. He works with Rokan. He's his sound producer in the afternoons here on WGN Radio. We see Brian every day. You don't hear him on the radio that often. I'm glad he's able to join us. So it sounds like you are you marching down the ramp. Where exactly are you right now, Brian?
Right now, I'm heading towards the corner of 79th and State, heading towards that ramp. It's amazing. I talked to a few people that that had victims of gun violence, and I talked to one guy in particular. His name was Alex Scott. His daughter, Kayla Nicole, she was murdered in 2015 on the South Side, and to this day, the murder is still unsolved. And one of the things that he was asking for was just common sense gun laws and hold judges accountable for these, I guess, if you want to say slap on the wrist sentences, you know, that, stuff like that. So he's asking for that. There are a couple people with signs out here calling out the aldermen in their ward. They demanded the aldermen step forward and do something to make their neighborhood safer.
Yeah.
Just common sense stuff.
Now, as you all march along towards the Dan Ryan, are there people on either side cheering, supporting, jeering? What, or are you guys by yourself?
Well, what's interesting, there was a buzz online about it being a counter-protest, but I have not seen that yet. So maybe we'll run into it as we get closer to the expressway. Right now we're actually are on State Street, but right now we have not seen any counter-protesters yet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... I'm almost certain they'll be out here because it was a big buzz online last night about it.
All right, so the march is underway. They're not on the Dan Ryan yet. It'll be interesting to see what the crowd does when they get onto the Dan Ryan, and will they cooperate and share the road, or will they cross the line and try and block it off completely? Incidentally, if you are on the Dan Ryan, or if you're south of 95th Street heading north, my phone number is 312-981-7200. I'd like your view, what you're seeing and experiencing. 312-981-7200 if you're on the Dan Ryan, really going either direction. It's interesting debate, too. Is this even a good idea? And then another angle on that is sharing it so that the cars can still get through. Does that serve the purpose of the rally? At the end of the day, it seems to me, Brian, that the idea is to get attention to the cause, and Lord knows they've done that. So even if they have to let cars go through and share the Dan Ryan, which seems to, on the surface, be pointless, I mean, you're not blocking off the highway, but they have gotten people's attention, once again, to the violence on the South Side.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And as I walk down the ramp right now, I'm seeing hordes of police, first responders, just in case. And right now, as I'm looking at the Ryan, there are still cars actually going the speed limit for a change on a Dan Ryan. They're going on the left-hand lanes, and the traffic is still moving pretty smoothly on the Dan Ryan.
Stay on the line with me. Are you able to stay with us here, Brian?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be marching with the crowd. So, for the most part, I'll be with the march until it ends. So, you feel free to check in with me. I'll be here.
Well, don't hang up right now. I'm going to take a call or two. Let's see. Jennifer is on the Dan Ryan now. Jennifer, you're on WGN Radio. Hi.
Hi.
Where are you?
I was on 57 headed north into the city, and Dan Ryan, they have all lanes closed off, from 57 on to the Dan Ryan, and going both ways. So they're not letting anybody on the Dan Ryan at this point. They're veering everyone off to 103rd and Stony Island.
That's weird because... Brian, it sounds like you are seeing some cars on the Dan Ryan, so they must be accessing it somewhere, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it must be.
So 99th Street is about where I'm approaching, and just north of that, the entire lane to the Dan Ryan are completely shut off. Everyone has to take 90-94 toward Indiana and get off at 100.
All right, so is this going to inconvenience you? Is this affecting your travel, Jennifer?
Well, thankfully, I'm in no necessary hurry, but I am sure that there are people with places to go and planes to catch, what have you, that are not. You know, it's just, it's kind of crazy.
Thanks for the call, Jennifer.
Sure. Okay.
Drive safely. Michael is on 94. Michael, you're on WGN Radio. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'm on 94. I just got diverted to Austin. Closed down 94. Basically, I got diverted there. I have somewhere to be, but I guess I'm just in traffic.
Hold on one second. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to put Brian on hold as well. Brian, stay there. We're just hearing so much ambient sound from the march that we're not able to hear Michael, who now joins us again. Michael, so where are you again?
I'm at Halsted right now. I got diverted off. I got diverted off on the entrance to 94. I was coming from Indiana, going up to the north side of Chicago, and I got stuck. I had somewhere to be in the north side of Chicago, and I've been sitting in traffic for about an hour now.
Just sitting there, right? I didn't
realize it was off the whole highway.
Say that again?
But I didn't realize it closed the whole highway off. I thought it would just be partial. I thought I could beat it if I left at 9:15.
Yeah, that's not going to work, my friend. That's not going to work. So are you sitting there then? Are you stopped? Where are you exactly?
Now I'm on Halsted. They diverted everybody onto Halsted.
Yeah. So you're heading north on Halsted then?
Yeah, and that's a parking lot too. It's just sitting here.
Feel free to call me again. I appreciate your time. Bye now. I just got a text from my friend Steve Bertrand. He said, I-55, not 57. Thank you, Steve. And Griff says, you need to take a break. Yeah, I do. Anthony has something to say on line 3 about these protesters, and our Brian Altheimer is there. It sounds like he's on the Dan Ryan now. Brian, we'll check back in with you. Lots of phone calls, and one of the people on the phone line is Brian Altheimer, who works with Ro Khan in the afternoons here on WGN Radio, and he is with 1,000 or more people, he says, that are marching up the down Ryan. Last we spoke to him, he was actually, it sounded like, getting onto the ramp. Let's go back to him now. Hi, Brian, where are you now?
Right now, we're actually on the Ryan. Right now, what I'm seeing, you have the Illinois State Police out here. They're actually formed up in formation. There are about five buses that's on the left-hand side of the Dan Ryan. I'm guessing that is for the extra state police that actually showed up. But right now we're just marching down the Ryan. They're chanting, we can do it, Black Lives Matter. And the march is off to a start. And right now we're heading towards 76th Street. And right now everything is peaceful. Nothing's going out of whack as of yet, but right now the state police are standing in formation. The Chicago police are marching adjacent to the crowd. So right now everything's going smoothly.
Are the other two lanes open? Are cars being able to get up the Dan Ryan?
Yes, the two left, the far left lane, the traffic is moving considerably slow, but it's moving. So kudos to the Illinois State Police for doing this under short notice, because at one point it was reported that the entire Dan Ryan is going to be blocked off.
Yeah.
But right now the traffic is moving. It's moving slow, but it's moving.
And I'm now looking at a view of it I can see, and it looks like the southbound traffic is going slow. I presume that's just the gapers, the people that are watching, right?
Correct. There's a lot of people just watching from what I can see from my end. But it's amazing because you see people from all walks of life in this crowd. You see white, you see black, the Latinos. Everybody's out here, and in some form they've been affected by gun violence in the city.
And the cops then are forming just a line, so trying to keep everybody from going into the lane of traffic, right?
Correct. So as we're marching, I'm looking at the Illinois State Police. The more we march, they're moving the line along.
Yeah,
so
they're marching with you, just kind of keeping that line moving, huh?
Yeah, just in case somebody decides, hey, I want to run out in the middle of the Dan Ryan or something. Yeah. So that's what they're doing right now.
Okay. Brian, I'm going to check in with you again. It's 10:27. Let's visit with you right after the 10:30 news with Doma T, and then maybe again later in the show.
All right, good to go.
And if anything else comes up, if anything else changes, feel free to join us again. Brian is obviously on the Dan Ryan. He's with the Marchers, reporting for us here on WGN Radio. Tom had a question or an observation about all of that. Hey, Tom, you're on the air. What can I do for you?
Hi, Guy. Good morning. I know this question's been asked before. I'm a Catholic. Probably has really nothing to do with this. But with Father Flager's latest caper, inconveniencing all the people, bringing the police, the state, the Chicago police out, costing money, and getting himself all this attention, I just wonder if this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow morning, if one of the shooters in the alley or the porch is going to say to himself, gee, Father Flager went out and got himself a bunch of attention today, I think I won't shoot this guy across the alley. It's rhetorical. And if it happened, then God bless him. I'll thank him. I don't see it happening.
Thanks for the phone call. It's a rhetorical question. I get it. Does this serve a purpose? Does it help? Does it work? Does it do anything? You know, we talked to Pastor Corey Brooks yesterday. Thanks for the phone call. We talked to Pastor Corey Brooks yesterday, and his community is in the area that they're marching by. And he is not marching with Jesse Jackson. He is not marching with Father Flager. He is not marching with Danny Davis. He said, I don't think this does any good. He said the solution has to come from within the community and asking the media or the government or anybody else to fix this doesn't fix this. He said, look, I'm worried about the violence in my neighborhood. I've raised four kids in, I want to say Inglewood, but it's not Inglewood, one of the neighborhoods nearby. And people at his church have to dodge bullets, sometimes literally. But Corey Brooks said, we're not going to march. Obviously, other people feel differently. The news is next on WGN. Not only is Chicago following this march up the Dan Ryan, it's above the fold. It is the lead story on CNN.com right now. People are talking about violence in Chicago as a result. So to that degree, what Father Flager is doing is successful, though a lot of people will disagree with the method. Traffic is getting through, however, slowly. And we're not going to spend all 2 hours of the show today on this, but we will go back one more time now, and then maybe later, depending on how things develop, with our Brian Altimer, who is there now. Brian, where exactly are you?
Right now, we're just past 75th Street. We're actually under the viaduct here. For whatever reason, they stopped the march. We're just at a standstill right now. They're chanting, shut it down right now. I had a gentleman behind me. He was getting a little belligerent with the state police here. And a couple seconds ago, I just got done talking with police superintendent Eddie Johnson. And I asked him, hey, how were you able to coordinate this in such short notice? And he said it was a challenge, but he does support the right for people to protest. So he's just going with the flow of what's going on out here. But there are a couple people out here that's trying to cause trouble, just actually trying to run out into the Dan Ryan right now. So maybe that's why they stopped the entire march right now. But right now we're stuck in between 75th and 71st Street.
I hear them chanting, shut it down, and I know exactly what you're talking about. So buses and police officers have formed a wall between the protesters and the northbound traffic that's moving slowly along the Dan Ryan. If they wanted to break ranks, they'd have to physically get through the officers or between the buses, right?
Correct. So that's what's happening. And right now they're doing a good job of it. Like I said, there are a couple of troublemakers that are trying to get through, but they're setting that down pretty quick.
All right.
I got a gentleman behind me right now being like really belligerent with the state police right now. I don't know if you can hear this guy.
He's arguing with the cops. All right, do this for us.
Yeah.
Be safe, be smart, and talk to us again in a little bit. We'll call you back, Brian.
Will do.
All right. He's there. Thousands of folks marching up the Dan Ryan right now. Jerry wanted to say something about that. Hey, Jerry, you're on WGN Radio. Hi.
Good morning, King John. How are you today?
I'm good.
Got a question. The purpose of the march is to not only bring awareness, but to the goal is to fix the problem. Now, okay, we're gaining the awareness because it's all over the, you know, news media. But if you're trying to fix a problem, why aren't these thousands of people that are there on a Saturday morning on an expressway, why aren't they marching the neighborhoods where the problem is at night? I mean, think about it. If there was these thousands of people marching the neighborhoods where the problem is at night, don't you think that the gangbangers, drive-by shooters, gang-related, whatever the source of the problem is, wouldn't that have more of a deterrent of what's happening versus shutting down an expressway on a Saturday morning?
Yeah, I can't answer all these questions. I hear what you're saying, Jerry, and I appreciate your phone call. I'm going to go to one more.
Hey, John, do you mind really quickly?
Sure.
If I take a stab just at that one, I think that goes to the question the other caller asked earlier, too, is are people who are criminals moved by these kind of protests? And Father Flagler has done this in Auburn Gresham time and time again. Every summer there are a litany of marches on the south side of Chicago. But I would contend I don't think they're moved by these types of things because they have been doing this for years and years. Marching up and down 79th and Troop, different areas where you see these violent crimes happen. In Parkway Gardens, it's happened. I don't know if protesters holding signs can get hardened criminals to say, hey, let me think about my actions in a real way. I think that in these interviews, I think protesters have been saying that they hope that elected officials hear what they're saying and make some policy changes that they believe will affect these neighborhoods. Now, that's its own debate, but I think that's the goal.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I'm with you on that, Domiti. Of course, that's not. And by the way, nobody's proposing a solution here. They're not saying we'll shut down the Dan Ryan and therefore something else is going to happen and therefore the crime problem on the South and West Side is going to go away. The solution is going to involve ending poverty, finding jobs, things like that that a march won't fix and that most politicians don't have the answer to.
Right.
I think that's why Corey said we've got to fix this from within. I mean, I don't mind them getting our attention. I don't think that is a bad idea. You know what this conveys to me more than anything else is desperation.
Mm-hmm.
This is just how bad it is. I got nothing for you, but I'm going to walk down the Dan Ryan and shut it off just to scream out loud, what are we going to do? And then hopefully somebody will have an answer. Last call on this. Hey, Craig, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
Yes. Good morning, John. Thank you for taking my call. People are complaining that Father Flagler is shutting down to Dan Ryan, the inconvenience that's causing. Well, imagine the inconvenience of the people that have lost loved ones to gang violence. The Ryan will clear up in an hour or so, but the dead will still be dead.
That's what this is all about, Craig. Thanks for the phone call. Brian Altimer is there, and we'll visit with him. Let's target a little after 11 o'clock. We'll catch up with him then and see how things are going. You heard them chanting, shut it down. They have not shut down the Dan Ryan. They've slowed it, and they're making their voices heard. But are they going to cross the line that the cops have set up? Then it will get. Then it'll be a different kind of rally. Incidentally, if you are turning on the radio and wondering what the latest is with the boys in Thailand, the 13 people that are held in that cave, they're still there. And rescue efforts are still underway. We had a cave expert on yesterday talking about it, and you, like a lot of us, have probably been following that story. The boys have been in there for over 2 weeks. They are monitoring the oxygen levels now, and they say the oxygen level is going down. They also say that while they've had a relatively good patch of dry weather, more rain is coming this weekend. It's Saturday. And obviously the rainy season is about to begin. They're pumping water out 24 hours a day, so much so that the field nearby is turned into a pond. They're doing everything they can to get the water out of there, but it's also been described as a drop in a bucket, that it's groundwater, it's rainwater, and they will not be able to pump the water out to let the boys walk out. That was the first hope. Remember, they walked in. They've drilled 100-plus holes into the mountain. They say 18 of them show some promise, but none are thought to lead directly to the boys' cavern. You know, if they found a hole that would at least reach in there, then maybe they could get oxygen in there more efficiently. Maybe they could use that as a way to get the boys out. There is a way to ping exactly where they are. And obviously the SEAL divers have been able to get to where the boys are. You've seen video. They're getting them supplies. So they could put a device in there that would send out a radio signal to people on the ground. And it would tell them more precisely where the kids are. But that's been described in reporting this morning as a somewhat moot point because they can't drill a hole big enough to get the kids out in time. What I thought was a really interesting suggestion on how to help the boys was we know how they got there, but the best effort, according to one expert online today, you know, reading CNN and Vox and USA Today, etc., is to find a back entrance to the cave, to find another way into the cave. And they said that the way you do that is you walk along the ground above the cave or beyond the cave, and you look for a hole in the ground. And sometimes it'll be just that, a hole. And you kind of dig around there and you go, wait, there's an entrance here. We could shimmy down into here and pull the boys up or lead them that way. The problem there is that the jungle is so dense that literally walking through a jungle looking for a nondescript hole in the ground that may lead to the cave is finding a needle in a haystack. Still, they have people that are doing that, canvassing the area, trying to find a way in. The boys have been able to write letters that have been sent back to their parents, said one in his neatly handwritten note, I love everybody. I'm happy in here. The SEALs take really good care of me. I love everybody. So that's where that is right now. You know, it's funny because I at first thought, well, if the kids were able to put on an oxygen mask and tank, they'd be able to wade and sometimes go underwater. Sometimes they have to swim down and then come back up. But they'd put a headlamp on these kids and they'd find their way out, especially if they were following a guide rope. But you've probably heard as well that the water is so pitch black and there's so much muck in it that they won't use headlamps. That won't do them any good. It'll illuminate nothing. So now you're going to go in cold water with a current in the pitch black with an oxygen mask on, and you are going to shimmy down through the crevasse following a rope, pulling yourself along, maybe being guided by a diver. At some points in the blackness, you'll come to a spot where only one body can fit through, and you may have to take off your oxygen tank to do it, and then drag it through and keep breathing. Can you imagine? The trip could take 6 hours. The hope was high at first, and it's not as good now as it once was. I also saw that Elon Musk's engineers, I'm reading now from Vox.com, I think it is. Yeah, we got to take a break here, don't we, Griff? Let me just read this paragraph. The officials leading the rescue mission are also exploring other options, none of them ideal. Drilling into the cave so the boys can climb out through a new passage, pumping water out so the boys can walk out the way they came in, and leaving them in the cave until the water recedes, and then they can walk out, but that may be months from now. SpaceX and Boring Company CEO Elon Musk has said that they've sent engineers to help with the effort, tweeting that they are working on an escape pod design with an inflatable tube with airlocks Get your head around that. But wouldn't it be possible for them to put them in some sort of thing that would have air in it that you could then pull through the cave? Maybe, but they've got to figure that out tomorrow. So the best minds in the world are working on that. And there's no amount of money that this is going to solve. That's the latest on that. You've got an observation, question, or comment. As always, the number's 312-981-7200. Usually these stories end well. Usually baby Jessica, doesn't it seem, gets pulled out alive. Usually the miners in Brazil survive. Usually it works positively. So that's where our hearts are today. You know what one of the most delightful stories of the week was? I think it was this week. Was the story, and Griff, I don't know if you're up to speed on this one, but it's the story of the woman that got on a plane and she asked somebody, hey, could we switch seats because I want to sit with my boyfriend? They say, okay. And the person that she switched seats with, I don't know if it was the guy or the gal, then ends up sitting next to somebody else. And so now there's a man and woman sitting next to each other who didn't have assigned seats.
Right.
Are strangers, randomly chosen, and one of them was just doing a favor to that other lady. And she turns to her boyfriend and she says, so now that guy and gal are going to sit next to each other. She says, I hope they become friends. I hope they found the love of their life. Wouldn't that be awesome? But she's sitting right behind him now. So she's observing them on the plane. And then what is she doing? Is she tweeting out what they're doing? Or how is she posting what she saw?
It looked like they were Instagram stories that she was then screenshotting and posting to Twitter.
Yeah.
So it was multi-platform.
And the world was following it in real time. I was not, but I'm watching now the stream. And people were, like, taking lunch breaks and watching her posts because she was describing excitedly how the two were kind of getting along. It was a very sweet story because she said, you know, they look, oh, my God, isn't this nice? They looked at each other and smiled. It looks like they're both personal trainers. Oh, here comes the menu. Well, they won't be ordering any of the junk food. They shared a vegetarian cheese plate or something like that, you know. And she's and when she would even take pictures from behind them, by the way, and then post those, but she would black out their faces to preserve their anonymity.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, here's counterpoint
to the cuteness, and this is a tweet that I'm reading on that.
There cannot be a counterpoint
to
the wonderfulness of
this. I could have dreamt this up in my sleep. In fact, I mean, I enjoyed this. But this is the writer, Chelsea Fagan. I follow her, and this is embedded in the Vox story about this.
I thought this was the part of the show where we were going to tell something nice.
Never.
Okay. Go ahead.
Never.
Never what?
Cannot stop thinking about how creepy that viral thread about the couple on the plane is. It's unreal how the internet has poisoned our brains and concept of basic privacy so much that you could be 100 tweets deep on something like that and not feel weird about it. Respond.
She blacked out their faces, so those people got off the plane and nobody knows who they are. Because I was thinking, what if they're married to other people, right?
Yeah.
You could be flirting and enjoying the flight, and then you get off and go, oh, that was cool. Oh, no. Right? But we don't know their name, I don't think, and we don't know their faces.
But I do think that internet sleuthing is so viable now.
Yeah, you could figure it out.
Oh, yeah. And this is so widely available, 100,000 retweets or whatever it is, like this, and we're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
It's such a huge viral story that, say you were married on that plane. I don't know why this is the example we're using, but people will find out who you are if they want to.
I thought that the cynic was going to say, this would be what I thought you were going to say, is what if this is a Verizon promotion?
Oh, yeah.
You know, what if Samsung or Apple...
CEO did get in on it. Did you see that?
Of what company?
I don't care. It was Jean Legere.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I see his stuff all the time.
He tweeted at the lady that posted the whole thing and was like, because she kept paying for...
She needed more time.
She needed more Wi-Fi on the plane, so she kept paying for it. And then he tweeted at her after it all happened and said, we'll reimburse you.
Yeah. Okay, well, I would hate...
So that was not the plan, but it did happen.
Okay, well, so maybe good for him, good for them. I don't mind them jumping on it, but I would hate it if it was concocted that way from the beginning. Hey, let's do a thing, and everybody will then love these devices, and they'll buy more of them and buy more time. Then I'm a sucker. Then I would be a dupe for that. But right now, I believe it's authentic.
It was... I'm not, I'm conflicted because I found it fun and I found this couple relatively charming.
Relatively charming.
The
couple that was posting it was charming. They were, because then they put the camera on their faces and make these, oh my God, we're so excited. How awesome is this?
It's really about them, not. It was like about their stewardship of this story. If it was too boring, people like, hey, they almost touched arms. You got nothing here.
Right. But she told it so compellingly and so funly.
It's true.
That's F-U-N-L-Y, that I found myself even after the fact getting drawn into it. And then they touched arms. You could just see this sort of flirtation budding. Now they're showing pictures on their phones to each other. And she goes, oh my God, they traded the names of their moms.
But, okay, and here's the other thing. That's really, what you're describing is just a conversation. Now, they're both good-looking young people, I suppose, so, like, who knows? But
I think they are, judging by their arms, they looked like they were toned.
No, see, really, judging by their arms, they could be identified, is what you're saying.
God.
There's no privacy here.
Are you guys listening to this, Joe? Can a brother get an amen here?
I have like nine problems with it.
Oh, man.
They apparently didn't have wedding rings. I remember seeing that.
She said no rings.
That is not my objection. I'm just to be clear.
I mean, but that is another part of your life that's just sprung out to the entire Twitter world.
Yeah. You mean another identifying feature?
Right.
A couple of single trainers who are flying from A to B. I'll bet I can figure out who it is. Click, 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 click.
Did I read correctly that she said, oh, your mom is hot?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
That's such a weird compliment.
Oh, boy.
Yes, Joe's on my side. That's what I'm talking about.
All right, fine. I'm on board the internet doing something loving and flirty and fun.
It was mostly fun, but there's this other angle that's hard to ignore for me.
Did you notice that nobody in this scene was denied service at a restaurant? That it was just wonderful and fun? Wasn't that swell? Thank you, Doma T. Notice how I took the weather personally? What's that all about?
It's about optimism.
That's what
we can use more of it this morning, especially.
Brian Altimer's on the Dan Ryan Last We Spoke. He's been reporting back to us from Brokaw's show on the protest that was featured in your news. Let's pick up a phone line with him. Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm doing all right. It's kind of unusual right now because right now we've been at a standstill for about 30, 40 minutes. So we're still in between 75th and 71st Street. And I talked with one of the organizers from St. Sabina, and I was asking him what the holdup was. And he said that Father Flagger is in negotiations with the Illinois State Police to let us use the entire expressway. So they're trying to figure out a safe way to get on. So at some point, they're going to shut down the entire Ryan and let them march the entire Dan Ryan. So I don't know if what's the holdup, but right now that's what's been told to me.
Yeah. Well, if I may, Brian, it sounds like that's what they want to have happen, but it hasn't happened yet. Doma T played in our newscast. I'm sure you weren't able to hear it just now. You're down there. But Doma T had Father Flagger on saying that no way did he negotiate a shared use of the Dan Ryan. That's a lie if the governor's office said that they came there with the intent of shutting the Dan Ryan down. But they haven't done that yet, and it sounds like they're stopped right now trying to figure out how to literally get through the police brigade and shut the Dan Ryan down, right?
Yeah, correct, because what I'm seeing now, there are a few people that are getting a little restless, and I noticed a couple people actually, they hopped the fence and coming down the berm on the right-hand side, actually joining the march. I'm actually directly under the viaduct catching some shade right now. But, we've been here for about 30 minutes, and we have not moved yet. So everybody's standing by for the standby. Hopefully we can get it underway, but right now we're just at a standstill.
Hey, Brian, in the news, I'm trying to make sure I'm painting the full picture here, and as I'm looking at TV, those closest to Father Flagger as he was negotiating whether or not he would be allowed to advance to the rest of the lanes of the Ryan, they were getting really agitated, and the anchors were nervous that there was some tension building up. Are you feeling that tension from where you are? Does it seem like protesters are agitated with being at a standstill right now?
It's kind of like a pot, because a pot of water, because At some point, it'll get agitated and it'll calm down. Right now, the water's pretty calm, but about 10 minutes ago, people were pretty riled up and was like, hey, let's go. We want to march peacefully, and at this point, the Illinois State Police won't let them march.
See, that to me is, if I'm trying to manage that situation right now and the people aren't going forward because they also want to shut the whole thing down, you've got a lot of unhappy people there, and that's not a good situation to have. Maybe it's best to let them march on the Dan Ryan. It's crawling anyway, and get this thing over with rather than keeping them in the confined lanes and they're not moving forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and on a side note, I don't know if this plays well for Governor Rauner. You know, I mean, this can definitely be used, you know, in a campaign ad. You know, so
yeah.
It's not looking good in his favor if they don't let him march. So you're right, let him march, and you know, it'll last maybe about 40 minutes, and it'll be done. But right now, everybody's just sitting here, and traffic is choked up no matter what. So it's crazy.
All right, do this. Hang up with me now. Call Griffin back if something comes up that is different. And in the meantime, I'll plan on visiting with you in about 20 minutes or so.
Therefore.
That's our Brian Altimer. All right. Yeah, that's a tough call. I mean, you know what? The police aren't the bad guys here, right? They're there to protect everybody. So at some point they have to make a decision. Are we going to let the people shut down the Dan Ryan and then we'll move forward and then we'll get off the Dan Ryan? Or are we going to be here all day at a standstill as anger and tempers start to flare? It is 11:15. Let's pause here. We'll come back and then we'll do what we always do on a Saturday morning. The Mincing Rascals podcast is always broadcast Saturdays in part on WGN here on the John Williams Show. I believe I just referred to myself in the third person. And by the way, the Rascals were talking about I-57 and how its name has been changed. It's 11:18, 72 degrees. The Dan Ryan is crawling. The protesters have stopped. They want to take over the highway. Our Brian Altimer is there, and we'll talk with him in about 15 minutes or sooner if that story changes radically. In the meantime, The Mincing Rascals is a podcast we record here at WGN Radio on Thursdays with members of the Chicago Tribune staff and some of us here at the fine little radio station. This week, Scott Stantis, Steve Bertrand, Patty Vasquez, and I kicked around a number of topics. I don't know where you pick up your finer podcasts, but I hope you make a habit of listening to and sharing The Mincing Rascals. I asked the gang if they knew what the name of the stretch of Route 57 was from the southwest suburbs down toward Pontiac. And Scott Stantis said,
I know what we call it now.
Well, that's the question. What is it now?
That's the Obama,
ooh, Obama Highway. Oh,
the
sorry.
Barack Obama Presidential Expressway.
Did you not like that when that happened?
What's
is
that?
Is that why you remember it? Because I always find that people who don't want something to happen remember it more.
No, I don't care.
Okay.
I really, it doesn't affect me one way or the other. It seems they name things after things here a lot.
Yeah. Do you know the Jane Addamses?
Yes.
Okay.
That would be a good question, because for people who are from the city, maybe we know, but maybe we aren't that good at it anymore. But certainly if you're from outside the city and you're listening to traffic here on this radio station, and we say out to the Jane Byrne or on the Reagan, even on the Eisenhower, what does that mean if you're looking at your GPS or your phone?
Yeah, I can tell you my GPS doesn't understand any of this.
Yeah, well, we went through a regime here that insisted for a while that we stop using the nickname names and only the numbers because of the 15 people who might be driving through.
Oh, that's right. By regime, you mean program directors and managers,
right,
of our voices.
Which was,
and what was your reaction?
Well, it was stupid. I mean, well, we're in Chicago. We call it the Dan Ryan, you know. And if you were going to call it 94, 94 is three different areas, okay, and it's very difficult that way.
I'll bet you if we had like seven, you know, if we did a matching like you do when you're taking your test in school, how many people would know where exactly the Reagan is or the Jane Byrne is or the Barack Obama is? You know what I mean? I'll bet folks wouldn't get them all right.
Oh, I think
I would not.
Folks would get half of them right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, unless
the north
they
side
drove them.
Get the Kennedy.
If they, but they don't. It does. It's irrelevant unless you drive it. If you drive it, you know it.
Oh, you don't have to know it, in other
right.
words.
Right.
Yeah, tell that to your teacher when you're turning in your paper. Actually, but I'm not going to need to know this.
I tried that in algebra and geometry.
The lawmaker who put that forward said, this is not political.
What?
But it's the very essence of political. It's a tribute. I guess that's political. Maybe it's not. But I don't have any problem with calling the road that Barack Obama, he said, used to drive on his way to Springfield as a state lawmaker, naming it part of it after him.
Why can't you name something after a former president of your state
Have
it not be political? I mean, I don't think it was done for political gain. It was done to honor someone.
Yeah, and we're all on board honoring Barack Obama that way.
At least.
Here's the problem with it. Uh-huh.
Let's name this building after Barack Obama.
Do you remember when they commissioned the Jane Byrne Spaghetti Junction? Spaghetti Junction is Jane Byrne Exchange.
Spaghetti Bowl.
Spaghetti Bowl, right? It's where the three major highways meet in the city.
Yes.
And it's an engineering marvel. And Jane Byrne, one of the last things she was able to witness in life was the sort of dedication of that. And I felt a little bad for her because because it's not a pretty area. You know, the overpasses and underpasses. And
if you don't have on the wrong lane, you end up in Indiana for no reason.
Like, totally.
And no one deserves it.
No one wants to.
And nobody has good feelings about the Jane Byrne, right? The Jane Byrne is always a cluster of traffic. If for some reason, someday, I accomplish things so great, Chicago said, boy, we got to name a highway after John. I would take a pass because they're going to go, oh, crap, it's backed up on the Williams. Your name is associated with
just like in life.
So, I don't know.
I get on the Edens every morning and find out how long it's going to take me to get to the Jane Byrne.
Yeah,
you know, and so it keeps her mind a little more, or her name a little more present in my mind.
Well, if they have a parkway or a brook or a stream or a section of the beach in Chicago that doesn't have garbage all over it, name that after me. But otherwise,
we'll get you a bench somewhere.
Exactly.
Sure.
And keep the birds off it while you're at it.
I don't think any of us are at risk of worrying about this.
What percentage of Americans are either very proud or extremely proud of being an American? What percentage would you say today would say when asked, you could be extremely, very, kind of, and then on the other side, not at all, et cetera.
Oh.
So what percentage of Americans say they are very or extremely proud to be an American?
I'm going to say it's higher than you think. I'm going
to
say 40.
Proud to be an American.
Well, at least
extremely proud?
Combine them, very and extremely.
Oh, combine very and extremely.
Because extremely was the highest, then very, which to me is like, I'm not exactly sure I agree with the semantics there, but that's like, you know, a 5-star or 4-star, and then there was a 3-star.
I kind of want to guess the 5-star. I kind of want to guess it's around 20%.
I need a number.
20%.
20% of people say they're extremely and very combined.
Combine. Closer to 40.
70.
Lord, how many times do I have to explain this? I'll read it again.
Because I think it's more interesting to know is extremely, like, no matter what, without any...
What percentage of Americans are either very or extremely proud to be an American?
I'm going with Scott in the 40s.
40s.
70.
72%.
72% are very and extremely.
Right. Okay, but you know that's...
Moderately is 16, a little is 7, and not at all is 3.
That's interesting.
I am not extremely proud to be an American right now. Now, I don't think American values have ever been more challenged or disrupted. And by the way, maybe challenging them is a good thing. Maybe we need to rethink what that means.
Tell me the number, the choices again. Were there two, three of the five? No, I asked
five options.
It's just it's one of these stupid, stilted question.
Well, thank you, Steve. I worked real hard on the podcast.
No, because it's obviously going to be positive. The point of my question is, of course you're going to say you're proud. Or
really?
I guess my choice, the thing I'm trying to bring up is there were five responses.
Yes.
Three of them were positive.
Moderately.
Right. So right away, 60% of the choices were.
All right. But don't you think it's interesting that only 1 in 10% said I am a little or not at all proud? I mean, to listen to talk radio and read editorials these days, you'd think a lot more than 10% of us are not jinky with how things are going.
So who's more likely to be less proud? The Trump supporter? Because there's a lot of angry out there. They don't like this country where it's headed. Or the Trump opponent?
I think Trump opponents would be less proud.
Right, but the Trump supporters are the ones expressing anger for everything in the way it is.
I'm curious about this because I'm trying to wrap my mind around why Trump supporters are so angry. If they have all three branches of government, what is there to be so angry about?
The dissent.
You don't get to have our complacency.
They're in the front of the line. They're not used to being up there, and they don't know how good they got it.
Is it disorienting? I don't know why there's so much rage.
They're waiting for the space arm of the armed forces.
I agree with you, John. I think that, it surprises me, because you said the values that we say we embrace, we clearly aren't currently.
Well, the default is going to be that you love your mom. that you don't hate your mom, right? So it's going to be much harder for someone to say, and you also could take it as a long view or a short view. You know, am I extremely proud to be an American over the past 242 years?
Yeah. It's not what it says here, Steve.
About the past 24 months,
I think
less.
Is a litmus test of right now.
How likely would that's all of the 70% who are very and extremely feel when, if they're traveling abroad? Are they wearing American flags on their backpacks, and are they carrying, I mean, I'm just curious, because when I've 20 years ago when I went to Europe, I told people I was from Canada.
Well, who among us four has recently traveled overseas?
I have. Scott has.
And
I have. How are we doing globally, guys?
They are mystified by us.
Yes.
I wouldn't say they're angry at us. I just think they shake their head and wonder.
I think mystified is a good word. I was in Norway, where the president wants people to come from. And so the ignorance that we have as Americans a lot of times is, and this is a great land of opportunity. It's a wonderful place. I'm glad I live here. But we tend to think we're the only ones who have it right. And when you go to other European countries, which is my experience, not others, and you look at, you know, whether it's Denmark or Norway, where I just was, or Ireland or wherever, you know, you see, damn, they're doing okay. They do it a different way. You know, I keep bringing up the statistic. Norway is oil rich. They're drowning in oil. 30% of the cars in Oslo are electric cars because they know that fossil fuels are not the way to go. When we're drowning in oil or natural gas, you know, we start selling the gas guzzling cars. You know, I mean, I think that there's a much longer view there.
No, but like, I think I've had the same experience as John's. I just came back recently from Italy and France, where people were not mad, but they looked at you and they just go, and they hear you're from America. Are you from America? I go, yes, I am. And they go, Trump? And just like,
yeah.
It just hangs there.
And the president's name is on the front page of newspapers all around the world. You know, I mean, you can't read the article afterwards, but you know that they are paying attention to who we are and what we do. And it does make you, if you're worried about your safety, depending on where you are, if you're in Turkey, maybe you do want to tell them you're from Canada or some other part of the world. I mean, I think that the sort of hostility the president lobs out at anything that disagrees with him doesn't make it easy for Americans to self-identify when they're abroad.
Well, when I say I was in England 20 years ago and I told people I was from Canada, it was because every time they would hear us talking, they would consider us to be rude or loud or stupid Americans. And I got tired of it, and I was like, I'm from Canada.
Oh, so that was pre-Trump. That
it was 20 years ago. Imagine now.
Well, the thing is, we can't hide it anyway. If you are an American and you are traveling abroad, you might as well get a sign.
Yes. That's why I wear a Canadian patch.
We're wearing Nikes. We have blue jeans or Dockers on. We are anti-fashionable. We don't wear scarves if we're men. You know, it just goes on and on and on. We are so predictable.
I was in a French restaurant, I think 15 years ago, little restaurant, and a woman was literally a few tables over raising a stink. I could hear her because they didn't have Heinz ketchup.
See?
Just go see. You're ruining it for all of us, ladies.
No, yeah.
So I had some in my wallet. And I gave it to her.
That's our Steve Bertrand and Company. That's the Mincing Rascals podcast. Thank you, Steve. By the way, Steve Alexander's listening to us. Thank you, Steve. And Steve just texted in, how many people can tell us who the Edens is named after? You know who the Eisenhower's named after? Who's the Edens named after? I'll have to look it up. Shame on me. The only Edens I know is the Garden of, and I don't think that's it. It's 11:30. Doma T. Pongo's in the WGN Radio newsroom, and that's next. Thank you, Doma T. Our Vibe Score segment in just a second, but our Brian Altimer is on the line. He is, of course, from the Ro Khan show, and he's been following. In fact, he's been marching with those protesters up the Dan Ryan. It's taken, as you've just heard, a dramatic turn in that they've been able to use all of the lanes. Hi, Brian.
Hey, so, like I said, all lanes are open. We are actually approaching 71st Street in the Dan Ryan. People are now moving. It's moving pretty quickly. So I think this is going to be over like in the next half hour, maybe 45 minutes, depending on what happens after that. But there was a long standstill, and it was because Father Flager wanted to use all four lanes. So it finally opened. We're marching. We got people coming. Actually, right now, as I'm looking at it, people are coming on the on-ramp from 75th Street and actually joining the march. So that's interesting to see.
Right. Well, were they discouraging people from accessing it there? I know that they had the one central the starting point, but now people are joining it, particularly now that all of the lanes are shut off, huh?
Yeah, so they're letting people just come on the on-ramp. So I see people coming on the on-ramp on 75th Street, so they're letting people just come on the Dan Ryan. So if you're for anti-gun violence, you can join the march.
The whole country is able to watch this on CNN.com. They are live streaming without the audio, just video. A CNN camera is moving along with you all. A lot of media is there. And Brian Altimer's been with them since they staged it beforehand. Originally, three lanes with cars crawling along. What did they say to the crowd? Did they say, okay, we'll let you do the police sort of separate? How did that happen?
Well, what they did, they had a couple of the lane dividers blocking the right lane. So I'm guessing it took time for them to move those all the way to the far left shoulder. And that's why it took so long, because now those dividers are on the left side, and they had to divert the oncoming traffic that was already on the riot. And there was one lady, and I'm quite sure she's angry in her car right now, but she was basically stopped once they cut all the lanes off, and they would not let her through. So right now she's stuck. Where we were under the viaduct, and she can't move until this march is over with, unless we let her go in reverse and go on.
But somebody had to be the first car that they didn't let through, because they were letting cars through, but there was the last car that got through, and then she's the first car that wasn't able to proceed. What a headache for her. So she's going to sit there for about an hour, I guess, huh?
And this happened before on the Dan Ryan a few years back, where it was a bad accident, and they shut all the lanes down. They let the cars turn around and go up the on-ramp. So I'm expecting that to happen, because I don't think you want to sit there for a whole hour just watching people march.
One last thing, Brian, before I let you go. Just tell me what the mood is like. Is it more celebratory now? Because it was sure angry earlier.
Yeah, I think it's more celebratory now. It was getting angry because people were getting restless, and there are a lot of older people out here too. I saw one lady, like she was in a walker, and luckily the people at St. Sabina, they provided water for people that were marching, so she had water. But she was on a walker, and there was nowhere for her to sit. So I'm almost certain that was a concern for everybody. You know, there was a lot of older people out here.
Good to hear your voice today, Brian. Thanks for your reporting. Thanks for helping us out today.
All right, thank you.
That's Brian Altimer, and we'll continue to follow it with WGN Radio News. It's 11:43. Domitee's in the newsroom. I see Bob Kessler is getting ready to do the top of the hour, so we'll keep you posted on how things are going. It's taken a turn now. All of the lanes are closed on the northbound Dan Ryan. If you've got folks coming up, you'll want to pass that along. We haven't done our Vibe Score segment yet. Griff's usually got a song for us to listen to, learn about, rate, and then argue about. We'll get to that in a minute. There it is. Here we go. 11:47 WGN.
He likes my diamonds and my pearls. I said thank you, I designed it. Not your average girl. You need a swag and I'll provide it. Bite it. Open up and bite it. Bite it. Open up and bite it. Bite it. Open up and bite it. Bite it. Shut up, boy, you bite it.
What are we listening to here, Griff?
It's Tierra Whack. A song called Hungry Hippo from her new album, Whack World.
Yeah, I knew that. Who's the other voice? So we hear her.
That's her. It's all her.
Two voices I thought I heard.
No, I think.
Answers. 1 to 100, what do we make of that?
I'm like 99. Here's the deal. We heard most of that song. That song is 1 minute on the dot.
Oh, no kidding.
Her whole album, it's 15 songs, and each one is exactly 1 minute long. The album is 15 minutes exactly.
She's done commercial beds. That's an interesting concept.
It's very interesting, and it's super cool. And she's also incredibly talented and funny, and I really dig that album. So I'm riding high on it right now. That's
99.
Called Hungry Hippo by Tierra Whack. Was that song?
I actually liked that. I hope that doesn't shock you. I'm going to give it a 91.
What if I lower my score after hearing you like it? Would that hurt you?
I think I just killed the value of that
song. No,
I'm
just kidding.
For sure.
I'm joking. No, it's super catchy. It's kind of undeniable, right?
Hey, Domati, what do you give it?
I give it 100 just because I saw John bobbing the hip hop. That really made me happy.
I was working it.
He was.
You could score my dance moves is what you're scoring. In here, Domati, and I think I did it pretty well.
No,
you?
Well, hold on.
Well, I like my job here, so I'll just keep that to myself.
Sort of stings. Hey, Joe Brand, what do you give that song?
I did like it. I'd give it an 87. I definitely think you have to be in a certain type of mood to listen to that, but I've been in that mood, and yeah, I enjoyed it.
Tierra Whack is really interesting, too. She did a whole song not speaking English, like literally John mumbling the whole song. And it was still amazing somehow. So you got to listen to our whole album.
All right, Domati, give us something to rate. 1 to 100. What's your vibe score subject?
I am obsessed with the TV show Power. Have any of you guys heard of it?
Power. No.
Power is like a glossier version of The Wire. It's about a club owner, this guy James St. Patrick, who wants to go clean, but instead he becomes a drug overlord and he can't get out of the game. He's trying hard to get out of the game. He can't stop it. It is an amazing show. 50 Cent is one of the main characters. It's crime, it's bloody, it's sex, it's beautiful. I give it 100. I hoped you guys would have seen it or have at least heard of it.
I've heard of it. No, I mean, it's like Power. One of the biggest shows on TV, I think.
It's on Stars.
It's the biggest Stars show I think there's ever been, probably.
I'm watching Glow. Have you guys watched Glow at all?
Yeah.
And what do you give that one, Griff?
I just started it. I skipped the first season. I don't know why. It just passed me by. And then season two just dropped on Netflix.
I'm watching the first season.
Everyone's been talking about how great season two is. So I was like, well, I'll start it up now. So I'm about 5 episodes into the first one. And I love it. I think it's really good.
I'm going to give Domati Show Power 100 also just because I love me some Domati.
Well, thank you.
That sounds good. I mean, The Wire, if it's anything like The Wire, a glossier version of The Wire, I don't think we need that. But if they want to gloss it up a little bit, dang, I'll watch that. That sounds
good.
I was just
glad 50 Cent is like on a regular acting gig. I think that's awesome. Is he good on the show? You like 50?
Very good on the show.
Yeah.
He plays the same character all the time, but who cares?
Hey, Joe, give us something to score here. What's your vibe subject for us?
Well, I hope I'm not too outdated with this, but it is still pretty big nowadays in the news. There are two comedic aspects that I love dearly, Seinfeld and Saturday Night Live. And when Pete Davidson was dating Cassie David, who is the daughter of the creator of Seinfeld, Larry David, I was hooked. I thought it was a match made in heaven. I thought this was perfect for his career. They seemed to get along great. They seemed like they were in love. And now this whole Ariana Grande thing totally threw a curveball. I am so livid with it. I am at a 5 right now, maybe a 0. I don't know. I don't see where those two mesh together. Maybe it's the whole thing opposites attract, but I was just in love with the idea of Pete Davidson and Cassie David.
So we're rating the relationship of Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson.
Correct. The engagement.
Yeah. I remember when Larry David was on SNL, it seemed like he and Pete had a good rapport. So it's like he's in with the family. It's all the pieces are in place.
You can see them all sitting around watching a game.
That'd be great.
Like, how amazing would it be if Larry David was your father-in-law?
Well, Ariana Grande is going to be able to say that. Is this more about her? Or?
I think we got something mixed up there. But, yeah. I don't think she's going to be able to say that now. But, no, I see what you're saying.
Why isn't she dating? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, Cassie David, Pete Davidson's previous.
Yeah. I got it. Yeah. All right. So we're rating the new couple or the old couple?
They also got engaged so quick.
Exactly.
They were together for like 4 weeks.
I'm giving the new couple a 30.
Yeah.
Pete missed out on a chance to date Larry David, and who does that?
Essentially.
No, again, we're getting it mixed up here, guys. Come on.
No, he had the chance. He's right.
Okay,
Domati's right.
All right, fair enough.
35. I'm with the group.
No, I think they're cute. I think it's great. I did not expect this to Joe to come in so hot with this take about a celeb couple. I'm very pleased by it.
You should see my group text when I brought it up. They were like, who are you even talking about?
You caught me off guard.
Yeah, yeah.
They do seem to have a combined weight of like 175 pounds as a couple, Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande.
I didn't know that was how we rate couples, but okay.
So they get 175. That's no, I go 80. They're just rushing it, but I like them both.
You like power couples, Griff?
My only reservations.
Kim and Kanye, that sort of thing?
Well, sure, yeah. But I also just think they're both fun, but just too fast.
That's your reservation?
Cassie will be fine. Yeah. Joe?
I hope so.
I think she'll be okay.
I want you guys to rate. I'm not a big fan, generally, of Major League Baseball teams or any Major League sports teams wearing theme uniforms. But do you remember on the 4th of July, they wore the star-spangled outfits, red and white and blue socks that didn't match. The catchers had blue catchers protection gear with white stars. Every scene looked like a little American flag or something like that. And I thought it was awesome. I really loved the uniforms they wore on the 4th. So I'm asking you guys to give me your score on the 4th of July Major League Baseball uniforms. Joe.
Obviously, baseball, patriotism, 4th of July, they just kind of all come together on the 4th of July. And, you know, it's a feel-good effort. I will give it an 80, but you got to look at the other side of the coin. This is Major League Baseball making a ton of money off of all this. Jerseys, hats, gear, anything you can name it. I mean, they're going to auction off. Well, they will auction off the jerseys, I believe, after they wear them, and that'll go to a good cause. But you know MLB has seen a big chunk of change from all this, so you have to look at that aspect of the whole thing as well.
So that tempers you. You go 80. I'm 95. I'm not even going to think about that. Griffin, what do you give the cool uniforms they wore on the 4th?
Well, your question is a little biased there, but no, yeah.
Hey, Griffin, what about those awesome, terrific 100 uniforms they wore?
I didn't see them until just now. I'm looking at them right now. They seem fine. I don't have a real strong reaction either way. I guess I'd give it a 75.
But see, I give it a 40.
Tell me.
This is hard because it's like, hey, what do you think of America, bro? It's like, you know, I love the idea, but they don't really match.
I guess you don't love America, Domitee.
Right? No, I love America. I just like fashion a lot too, and it doesn't really match some of the teams. They didn't do the schematics well enough.
I'm actually going to say the opposite, which is I like when they do this like special edition uniforms. They wear the old ones, and they just look horrible.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Really?
They just look so strange, and I like when it's really jarring. Whereas this, they kind of try to sneak it in the letters or something.
Yeah, because it's tough with some teams, like the Baltimore Orioles are orange and black. You know, how do you alter red, white, and blue into that? You really can't.
Think about a guy who doesn't watch baseball. I didn't know who was playing the other day. I hated it.
By the way, did the White Sox ever, when they do throwback uniforms, wear the shorts? Do they ever wear the shorts again?
I want to say, yeah, recently they did.
That's great. That's what I'm talking about.
You know what they've said? The big ones, the softball jersey ones with the short collars and they're untucked. Yeah. I've heard that those are the most comfortable jerseys
to play in?
That they played in. Yeah, from players like in the 70s. They're the ugliest. They would say they're the ugliest. But Ed Farmer's a big advocate of them, saying how comfortable they were.
That sounds like that Seinfeld where George is advocating for them
cotton
to
jerseys?
Wear cotton instead. And then they all shrink.
Everything
oh, it's
comes
so
full
funny.
Circle.
Yep.
11:57. Thank you, boys. And also thanks to Brian Altimer, who works with Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis. Afternoons on WGN Radio, he has been marching with those young and old people. He said it was a real mix of people going up the Dan Ryan. You'll hear more about that story and the closing down of the Dan Ryan this morning on WGN.